Blog Talk Radio.
Hi, everybody. This is Silvio Canto in Dallas, Texas, on Wednesday, March 28th. And today we're going to catch up with our friends Carlos Torres and David Busby. We're going to talk. We're going to talk a lot of baseball tonight. The baseball season opening tomorrow. We're also going to go back and remember some of the other teams, or look back at the Dallas Stars, the Mavericks, and the Cowboys. Not too much about Mavericks and Cowboys because they're basically waiting for the draft. The Stars are still playing. They have about five or six games left, mostly on the road, and we'll talk about how that all turned out. So we'll get into the Rangers. We'll do some preseason predictions as well. I wrote down my predictions. I've been pretty good at it the last few years, but I can only tell you this about the Rangers. I think the Rangers are going to be a surprise, and I'm not saying they're going to win anything, but I think they're going to be competitive, and that's frankly all we ask about from a young team, because this is really a very young team. Let me say hello to David. How are you, David?
I'm doing good. How are you, Silvio?
Just great. And Carlos, how you doing?
I'm doing pretty okay, Silvio. Thanks for having us.
All right. My pleasure. It's always a lot of fun for us to get together. We always like to go back on this day in history, and I just want to go back and remember a fellow by the name of Vic Rashi, who was a great pitcher with the Yankees in the early 50s. He was part of the rotation that included Ollie Reynolds and Eddie Lopat. And he was with the Yankees from 46 to 53. And there was a time there in that dynasty that the Yankees had when they won the World Series 5 years in a row. They're the only team who have ever done that. By the way, the Yankees, the Derek Jeter Yankees almost did it, but they lost to the D-backs in the bottom of the ninth, as you may remember, in 2001. They had won three in a row, and they were going for four in a row, but they couldn't pull it off, that bottom of the ninth rally from the D-backs. But anyway, Rashi was a very good pitcher with the Yankees. He won 108 games over 5 years. He was really a super type of pitcher. He didn't strike out a lot of batters. His ERA was probably a little bit higher, and he did give up a lot of home runs. That was his signature, that he gave up a lot of home runs. And it's interesting because we remember him as the guy who gave up two very important home runs in the 1950s. In 1951, he gave up a home run to Minnie Minoso, who at the time was the first black Cuban to play in the major leagues, went on to have a great career in the majors in the 1950s. And also in April of 1954, he was pitching for the Cardinals, because he was traded to the Cardinals in his last year. He gave up a home run to Henry Aaron, and that, of course, was number one of 755. So a little history there for you guys, David and Carlos, if you want to say anything about any of this. David?
No, I wish I was around to experience it and see it.
Yeah. Five World Series in a row, Carlos. What do you think of that?
Yeah, I think that's almost impossible for that to happen these days. Just the way – that's the great thing about back in the 50s and, 60s, and then up till free agency started in the 70s, is that, these guys usually play for a team for life. So once you had a core team in there, it's hard to beat. We know that's not the case in modern-day baseball or really modern-day sports.
Yeah. In fact, just to follow up on that point, those Yankees that won five World Series in a row, 12 players were on that team together. 12 out of the 25 guys didn't change. That's a lot. When you think about it, that is a lot. I mean, that's a lot of guys staying together. Yogi Berra was on those teams. DiMaggio was in the first couple of years, and then he was replaced by Mickey Mantle. Whitey Ford was in all of those teams as well. Yogi Berra also. So very interesting team. Well, let me do this. Let's quickly go through some of the other sports. And I said that the Cowboys and the Mavericks are really where we expect them to be. Maybe we can talk about them in a future show, but they're basically waiting for the draft, both of them. But I like each one of you to tell me about the Stars. The Stars are still playing. but they have a very difficult chance of making the playoffs, if not impossible. So, Carlos, you go first on the Stars.
Sure. So we got four games left. We play Minnesota in a home and home series. So we play them tomorrow night in Minnesota, and then Saturday in Minnesota. And the game after that is San Jose, and all of those are playoff teams. And then the last game's against Anaheim, who is also in the wild card running. But just for the Anaheim Ducks to get in, all they have to do is win two out of the next four. For the Stars, they need to win four out of the next four and have a lot of help. Colorado's ahead of them, and Colorado has a game in hand. So the chances are not looking good. But to answer your question, and Dave and I are I'll say a little bit, and then I'll let Dave, you know, answer more. But the bottom line is Bishop got hurt. You know, he is our number one goalie. He has, you know, made a big difference for us this year. You know, he's cleaned up the defense's mistakes. As we remember from last year and previous years, you know, we had Lettinen as our, you know, last year was a little rotation. This year he's been our backup, and he hadn't been playing much this year. So he's looked okay, but he's played eight games in a row. And prior to the game yesterday, which was a really good game, they lost seven in a row. Lettinen just can't cut it anymore. Especially playing all those games in a row. And, you know, we went from being about sixth place in the playoffs to now just, you know, we have to win the next four and have help from, you know, for Anaheim and Colorado to get beat just to make it to the playoffs. And, you know, they said Bishop was coming back towards the end, but I don't think he is. So it's not looking good.
Well, even if he came back, David, it would still – I mean, the math is not favorable, David. I mean, even if Bishop were back, let's say he was back for the last five games, they still – I mean, they would still need a miracle, David.
Yeah, and, I mean, I know Carlos is tired and we'll give him the benefit of the doubt, but Stars actually have five games left, and they end a week from Saturday in L.A., but he did have the schedule correct with traveling to Minnesota. Then we're at home against Minnesota, then against San Jose, Anaheim, and then the Kings. So, yeah, I mean, it's a long shot. They got a 4% chance of making it in the playoffs.
Wow.
And like Carlos said, I mean, Colorado has a game in hand with Anaheim and the Ducks. So it doesn't look good for them. But, yeah, with Bishop getting hurt, that really put a damper on the team. And then lately this team has basically been playing 40 minutes these last eight games that they've lost. If you watch, they keep it close, but then within the last 10 minutes of the game, last 5 minutes of the game, last 9 seconds of the game, they give up.
Right.
So this team's not a complete 60-minute team right now. I mean, maybe it's fatigue, but you got to admit that, you know, 31 teams, all these players are playing 60 minutes. Fatigue's going to weigh out on all these players. So you can't just say, okay, it's just the Stars are fatigued. It's every player that plays. They go out and they put their body out there, their heart out there for all these points that they can get.
Right.
But for the Stars, it's, you're putting a lot on Kari Lettinen. We saw what happened with him last season. I mean, even if Bishop's available and the Stars are on a run, I think they're just going to keep him safe for next season and then just kind of go from there. But, I mean, there was even a little article saying that, well, why didn't the Stars do anything in the trade deadline?
Mm-hmm.
I have a feeling Jim Neal knows what he's doing with this team. We just don't know it yet. Even in preseason when we talked about, you know, on paper how well the Stars looked, I still mentioned that it was going to be at least 2 years. I didn't see this year being the year.
Right. All right. So,
have to have,
so,
we have to have a team that has worked together, that's gelled together. We've had some bumps, like we talked about before the show came on. You know, we've missed Handel a lot of the season with hand injuries, lower body injuries. Mathot's been in and out, so we haven't seen a consistency out of him. But once we get this offseason, Handel's already had a surgery, so he's already recovering from that. Mathot's been playing, so we just need an offseason for him to heal up. And then I feel like we're going to see a totally different team this coming season with very little to no changes in the offseason.
Right. All right. No, well, Batman. Then, go ahead. Go ahead, Carlos. Were you going to say something about this?
No, they've made great points, but I was going to say, you know, the only difference is that they won't re-sign Lettman next year.
Yeah.
So hopefully we can get a good quality backup.
Yeah, the most frustrating.
No, we'll see Bo as our backup, I believe, from the AHL.
Possibly,
I don't think it'll be McKenna. I think it's going to be Bo.
Well, guys, for me, that game, was it last Friday night against the Boston Bruins?
Yeah.
That had to be the worst game to watch of the year. I mean, 2-0 after, 2-0 after two periods, and then you blow it. And
yep.
I mean, that was just very hard to watch. So
in the last 11 seconds.
You know, I know. 4% is not a very good chance. But remember that you probably have a 4% chance of winning the World Series if you have to come back from two strikes twice. So it can happen.
Yeah,
it can happen, as we remember one evening in October many years ago. Well, let's talk about baseball. The season opens tomorrow. Just some interesting tidbits about this year in general. This is the first time since 1968 that every team will play on the same day, or every team will have an opening day. Obviously, some teams will open, you know, half of the teams will open on the road, and then they'll go back. They usually play three or six, and then they go back to their home to have the home opener sometime next week. But it's interesting how they're all starting on the same day. And Carlos, we were saying that has not happened since 1968. And by coincidence, it was the day, go ahead, Carlos. I think it was the day that Martin Luther King was assassinated, right?
That is correct.
Yeah. 1968. Now, what makes 1968 interesting, aside from the fact that it was a very difficult political year, because Bobby Kennedy was assassinated a few months after that. But What makes it interesting is that was the last year before divisions. Up to 1968, you had two divisions in baseball, the American League and the National League. And that was the last of the pre-divisions before, you know, 1968 and before, you had the winner of the American League play the winner of the National League. And that was it. That was the only, you had one postseason series and that was it, and it was the World Series. Well, let's take a look at the Rangers, okay? Let's look at the Rangers first. My overall assessment of the Rangers is that I am not picking them to win anything, but would not be surprised if they actually fought for the second wild card and got in by a game or something like that. And the reason I say that is because this is, a pretty good young team. And they may be able to reinforce pitching in July if they want to. Now, it could go the other way. Come July, they're out of it for all practical purposes, and then you'll start seeing unloading Hamels, perhaps even some of the other pitchers. So, David, your assessment of the Rangers, and then we'll hear from David.
As hard as it is about the Rangers, I have a feeling they're going to be fighting Oakland for that final spot in the West. I think as far as the West, it's going to be a battle between Houston and the Angels. I think the Angels are going to do a little bit better than being like 20-some-odd games out they were last year. I don't think Houston's going to run off with the West like they did this past season. I mean, there's always the chance. I mean, they really beefed up their rotation when they added Verlander, who's actually going to start against Hamels tomorrow on the mound. So they didn't do a whole lot during the off season. They did they basically like cleaned house, you know, during the deadline last season to get where they were and to win it all and stuff. So I think the Angels are going to kind of give them a little push, but it's going to be the Astros for the West. But I think as far going back with the Rangers, it's going to be a battle who wants to hold the bottom of the barrel between them and Oakland.
And what do you think, now that you mentioned that, what do you think happens to Bannister, Carlos? I mean, I want to hear your viewpoint too, but then I'd like both of you to consider the question, what happens to Bannister if the team, you know, collapses and fights for last place rather than the wild card? So your assessment, Carlos, and then I'd like both of you to answer the question about Bannister. Is he safe? Where do you see it, Carlos?
I'm chomping at the bit for that one.
All right, good.
So, I'll go in order. So, you know, I'm with Dave. I mean, personally, the three of us love the Rangers. I mean, that's our team. We love them whether they win or lose. But unfortunately, you know, this is not going to be a good season. Daniels didn't do anything in the offseason. I mean, nothing at all to help us. Picked up some old pitchers that at one time had a good career, but you know, some of them are like 45 years old. Some of them are, you know, coming back from some surgeries and they haven't played well in several years. I don't know what's in Bannister's head. He just needs to go. But no, to me, the Rangers are going to end up between 75 and 78 wins.
Now,
to your point,
say Bannister or Daniels? I'm sorry, Carlos, just to clarify, did you say Bannister has to go or Daniels has to go?
Daniels has to go.
Oh, Daniels. Okay. Not Bannister.
Daniels.
Yeah, okay, fine. No, I just wanted to make sure I understood.
I apologize.
No, that's
fine.
I just wanted to clarify that and make sure that I had heard you correctly. So you're saying Daniels.
Yep.
Okay.
Daniels right, needs to go. Yeah.
Okay.
With that, you know, 75, 78 games, to your point, Sylvia, I mean, I think we had the 10th best offense last year, but our pitching was just in the dumps. And
right.
nothing has improved. Nothing's changed. And so I just don't see anything going right for us this year. When you're talking about Bannister, this is not Bannister's fault. This is once again, and you know, I don't like
right.
Daniels. I never have, but this is on him. This is the team that he gave Bannister, right? So Daniels is.
Oh, what happened?
Sorry about that. I think.
Oh, that's all right. Okay.
Hopefully, I didn't.
I thought you had run into Daniels.
No, I would love to run into Daniels. That would be awesome.
I thought you had run into Daniels and,
yeah.
and wanted to tell him to his face what you thought of him. But
exactly.
Okay.
But he's the one. He's the architect of the team. And
sure. No, he
you
is,
know
he's responsible.
If you give a chef really bad, you know, he give him bad ingredients, he's not going to make you a good plate of food. Well. You know, that's the thing. I think Bannister's
right.
a great, great manager. So, but I hope he stays and they get rid of Daniels.
Right. Okay, David, your assessment of Bannister and I guess Daniels, as long as we're talking about both of them.
Yeah, I'll try to keep this short since I know we need to go to break. But I think Carlos hit everything on the nose there. Bannister is safe. I don't see anything happening to him.
I think he meant that literally. He hit that one literally right on the nose. Yeah, I think he ran into Daniels. That's what happened. You know. Anyway, I'm sorry, David. Yeah.
But I think Bannister's doing what he can with a team that you know has
mm-hmm.
been given to him. I don't think any
right.
of this had any of his viewpoints, any of his say. As far as how he wants his team. I think if Bannister wanted to, I think we would have had a couple of key trades. I think we possibly could have looked at getting maybe Zach Greinke because that was a possibility. Mm-hmm. Even Jake Heredia, who then ended up going to the Phillies. So there were some key pitchers out there. I mean, it wasn't the free market of, you know, what we're going to expect in 2018. 2018 is going to be like, you know, the Oscars of free agency for baseball.
Right.
I mean, there's just going to be so much out there. And I know that's what Daniels has in mind, but again, I don't know what he's thinking, but if he goes into 2018 and does absolutely nothing, I'm sure a lot of Ranger fans and everything are going to want him out. But, I mean, we have a mediocre, you know, 70-win type team. I mean, some of the pitchers that we picked up, you know, Matt Moore, he's kind of gone through his prime. Tim Lincecum hasn't played in two seasons because of injury, so he's coming back. I mean, we don't even have a closer at all. Daniels has said he doesn't want a closer at all. So we're going to be bouncing around from who wants to actually close the game. Are they going to be consistent? Should we stick with this person? Do we go back with this person? We picked up Tollerson again. I don't know why, but we just have. But anyway, just – all in all, I think Bannister's safe based on the question that you had. And everything's riding on Daniel's shoulders. And if we succeed, then he looks good. If we fail, well, then we know why.
Right. Well, no, you're right. He's accountable. I mean, he's responsible. And I'm sure he knows that as well as we do. And we'll see what happens. I do agree with you in one respect. I agree with both of you, actually. I think that they should have tried to. They should have gone after this left-hander Holland, who is a free agent, a closer. I think you have Holland. You put him in this bullpen, and you take a lot of pressure from Kayla. You take a lot of pressure from Bush. You take a lot of pressure from Diekman. In a way, those guys go to their more normal role. I mean, which is not a closer. And Claudio, as great as he was, you know, to me, if you had a situation with Holland in the bullpen, I mean, this is not going to happen, of course. At least, I mean, it could happen because Holland is still out there, but it's not going to happen by opening day tomorrow, I don't think. But if you had a bullpen where you had Holland as your closer, and then you had Diekman and Bush, lefty righty, and then you had Kayla and Claudio lefty righty. There's your seventh, eighth inning pretty much laid out for you, depending on the situation. So I am disappointed they didn't go after Holland. I think that was a very doable situation. There was also a couple of other pitchers out there that were not as outrageously priced as what Yu Darvish got. See, I would have never given you 6 years. That, to me, is crazy, considering the – you know, what we saw from you here, the fact that he never, I mean, in 5 or 6 years, he never was able to stay healthy. So we'll see what happens. Let me do this, guys. When we come back, we'll look a little bit at some of the position players and what you're expecting from some of them. And then we'll go around and do our predictions for 2018. We'll go around the league and make a few predictions. We're going to take a little break right now. And I want you to hear from my friend Carlos Guedes, who's been playing around town, and he just sent me a brand new recording that he made for us. And I want you to hear what he has to say.
This is Carlos Guedes Harpist. I would like to see you guys this Saturday night at Sisiki's at the Star, located at 6765 Winning Drive in Frisco. I'll be performing instrumental high-energy music at 6:30 until 9:30 p.m. Make your reservation today at 972-377-2276. Remember, Sisiki's at the Star is the place to hang out on Saturday night. For upcoming dates, look for me on Facebook, Twitter, and Instagram.
That's exactly right. You look for him on Facebook, on his Facebook page, and you can get a schedule of where he's going to be around town. Guys, I know we've mentioned it before, but we've got to go out and have dinner at one of these places where Carlos plays. So let's make that a goal for 2018. How is that, guys? Carlos, David?
Yeah,
sounds good
sounds
to me.
Good.
Sounds good, yeah. And we'll figure out a babysitter for David. We'll try to get you a babysitter for both of you guys. My wife and I no longer have babysitting issues, at least not the same ones you do. but anyway, okay, but let's talk about some of the position players. This Rangers team is the youngest Rangers team, youngest lineup, opening day lineup, and really youngest roster since 2010. And that young team back then had, Michael Young at third, Elvis at short, Kinsler at second, Davis at first. And we remember Hamilton in the outfield and so on. And that was a very young team back then. Some young pitchers too, like Holland and so on. So of these young players, I'm just going to ask you about some of these young players, Gallo, Mazzara, DeShields, Rua, Odor, who's still
Odor.
Very young. Yeah. He's still very young. Even though he's in his third
24.
Season. Yeah, I mean, very young. All of these guys are under 25 that I just told you, so they're very young. What do you think of this young group, David? The four or five guys I mentioned, or anybody else that you want to talk about? Are you happy for the future of the club with these players?
I am. I mean, I like who they have. I think if we can get the Shields to. Get on base a little bit more. I think that'll help as well. I think you probably mentioned Gallo as well in there. But I think we've got a good solid infill between Gallo and Elvis Andrus and Odor covering that. And then we're still trying to figure out who's going to kind of take over first and everything. If we're going to put Ryan Rua there, if we're going to put Profar there, I think that's one position we're still trying to figure out. I know they just picked up a young guy from the Phillies off of waivers, and
yeah.
That's a first baseman, so that's a possibility as well.
But his name is Joseph, and his name is Joseph, and he had 24 home runs a couple of years ago. So it's a long shot, but I think it's a good pickup, actually.
Yeah, I mean, if we get someone young that we can develop, I think as far as defense and batting, I don't think that's really our problem. It's trying to develop these pitchers into how to condition themselves where they can be able to go 5-6 innings, possibly 7 innings, put in, 170 to 200 innings per season. I think if we can do that, I think we're looking at a much better ball club for this.
Right.
And I think part of what's really going to change this team is when we get the new ballpark and we don't have to deal with the heat.
Mm-hmm.
When summer comes around and when we're dealing with August as well, I think we're going to see a totally different aspect of this team with the Rangers sending Bartolo Colon to the minors, that's also dropped our age, our average age as far as the team. I don't know why they signed him, but they did, but he's on a minor league contract. But as far as the infield and the young players, I think we've got some good, solid players that we can depend on for years and years to come.
Right. I just wanted to say this. I to follow up on what you said about developing pitchers who could throw 175 to 200 innings. Carlos, let me get this one real quick. It's kind of interesting when David mentioned it. You know, we're remembering today Vic Rashi, and let me just read to you his innings totals. Over a six-year span, 222, 274, 256, 223, 181, 179, at more than 6 years. But, I mean, it would be nice to get guys who could pitch like that. I mean, if today – even some of the aces are not going 230 innings. So it's amazing what these guys in the old days used to do. And then on top of that, he had, let me tell you, he had the following complete games during this time: 18, 21, 17, 15, and 13. So it would be nice to have, it would be really nice to have arms like that. You know, they say the athletes today are better, but look at this guy, the kinds of innings he put back then. But anyway, Carlos, your assessment of some of these young players, I think the Rangers are clearly building what they think is a core for the future: Mazzara, Odor, Gallo, the Shields, perhaps Rua. What do you think of that core, Carlos? Maybe not this year, but do you feel good maybe next year?
Yeah. No. I think, like Dave said, you know, all we're really missing is pitching. That's what we're missing. I think, once again, last year we came in 10th. We were 10th in offense. So, you know, we have it down. This year, I'm a huge Joey Gallo fan. Ever since the first time I saw him bat for the Frisco Rough Riders, I said, this guy's going to be a big deal in Major League Baseball. And, you know, he didn't let me down last year, and I think this year he's going to be great. And now I heard, though, that he's been named the first baseman for, you know, I think he's going to be our first baseman for a while. So I know he's rotated in and out of a bunch of positions. So I'd like to see him stay there and you know, be there for a while. So, but I mean, we have a great infield. Just like Dave was saying earlier, you know, I think, and I think it was before the show, I think Beltre's gone by midseason. So it'll be interesting to see who's going to fill that position. But, I mean, we have a great offense. We have a great offense. We have a great young team. We should be great for years to come. We just got to get that pitching. That's the missing link.
And right. No, I think you're right about that. No, go ahead.
The pitchers I was just going to finish up by saying the pitchers that we have right now they're not going to get us there.
No, I'm with you. I'm with you on that. I think we're taking a chance on many of these veterans. You know, you're taking a chance on guys who've had injuries. I mean, one of them could turn out to be good, but if all of them turn
out
to be good, go ahead.
Thing I'd also like to add that, you know, this possibly could be Cole Hamels' last season with the Rangers, is this is his final year on his contract from when we traded to get him over from the Phillies. So if you're going to get something, if you're not going to re-sign him, then you might as well get rid of him and get someone in replace so you don't lose out on anything.
Right. That's a very good point. And in fact, let me just connect Cole Hamels to this story. There's a story going around. You know, the Phillies they're my surprise team in the NFL. And they're not going to win, but I'm just saying that's the team that I think is the surprise team in the National League. Because that's a good young, you know, three of the guys who are starting on that team, one of the pitchers, one of the outfielders, and the catcher came in that Hamels trade. So they did well in that trade. You remember when we talked about this back in August of 2015, we had that friend from Philadelphia, and he was praising some of this new talent that they got. So I wouldn't be surprised if Cole Hamels goes back to Philadelphia, especially if the Phillies are playing well and they want to get a starting pitcher. And then, you know, we'll see what we can get in return. But I agree with you. I agree with you with that. Another problem that the Rangers are going to have, you know, last year they really had two problems in the first 50 games, if you remember. The bullpen was a disaster. I mean, a total disaster, a complete disaster. And we lost Beltre for 50 games. That, to me, is let me ask both of you this question. Do you anticipate Beltre playing any more than 100 games? I mean, he's going to be 38, so, you know, the clock has a way of catching up with us, David.
If he plays 100 games, I think it's going to be a mix between the Rangers and another team.
Okay.
All right. I agree.
All right. Because but then who plays third? I mean, let's just for the, because I, that's an excellent point that you're making, David. I mean, that he'll be gone. Who plays third base? Because,
Gallo.
You know, they don't want Gallo at third base because they, you know, that means you got more back problems and, you know, it's more. Yeah, I think they want Gallo at first.
Yeah, but he's got a rocket though as an arm.
Sure.
I mean, if we pick this guy up off of waivers, I mean, why not give him a chance?
Right. You're talking about this guy,
I mean,
Tommy
right.
Joseph, I think is
yeah.
his name, yeah.
Yeah, I mean, if he's played first before, then, you know, there's nothing that you have to teach him.
Right.
He can just fill in that role to begin with.
Right.
I mean, same with Ryan Rua. I mean, if we need to, we can always find someone.
Or Profar.
To play first.
Right,
yeah,
Profar,
I mean,
yeah.
Even put Profar. If you put Profar in there, say, you know, Beltre gets injured and he misses, you know, let's say 20 games in a row, you put Gallo at third, you put Profar at first, then you're exposing Profar, so when the deadline comes, if Profar is actually
right.
doing well, then that's a good market to get rid of him, to bring in,
right.
you know, some other young talent or even some good pitching.
Right.
So it's still he's still trade bait.
Yes. And you remember a year ago when we did a show, I think it was at the end of the season, and we speculated about 2018, or at least I did, about the possibility of Mazzara playing first base and Gallo at third. See, I still think that's a possibility, Mazzara moving to first, because he's not real quick out there. He doesn't have a great arm, but he's a big guy that could play first base. So that's another way they could go. But the fellow that you're talking about, Tommy Joseph, I didn't know who he was until I researched it. He hit 24 home runs in a couple of not seven. I think it's in 2017 or 2016 with the Phillies. So I mean, he does have some power. Carlos, were you going to say anything else before we get to our predictions?
No. And I was just saying Profar. You could put
yes.
Profar at third, but. I know we're about to go to predictions, but what you said about the Phillies, I agree wholeheartedly. I'm with mm-hmm. you on that one.
Yeah. Well, they're the team. I mean, they took the long road. I mean, they lost 100 games. They sort of did the Houston approach, and it looks like mm-hmm. this year is going to pay off. They have one of the three of the guys who – I read this the other day. Three of the guys who were in that deal with Hamels, Williams, the catcher, and one of the starting pitchers – you know, they're expecting them to be part of their success this year. And they also picked up Arrieta, which I'm sure is a big boost.
Jake, yep.
Yeah, it's a big boost to their lineup. Okay, let's do this. Let's go around and we'll pick divisions. We'll just go, you know, east, west, and you know, and then we'll pick the wild cards. And if you want to predict who's going to be in the World Series. So we'll go with the National League first. I say the Nationals in the East, David. National League East.
I think the Nationals are going to run away
yes.
in the East again.
Carlos?
Hey, yeah, nobody's stopping those guys.
All right, so then we agree on the Nationals. The Central, I'm picking the Cubs. How about you, David?
I'll stick with the Cubs, but there's a possibility the Brewers could
yes.
somehow give them a run for their money.
Right. The Brewers are another team that could surprise this year because they again have built up some pretty good young talent. Carlos, the Central.
I agree 100% with what Dave said. The Brewers are going to come up, but I think the Cubbies have it. They have it in the bag.
Here's what's going to happen. Here's what's going to happen, Carlos, between the Cubs and the Brewers. You'll love what I'm about to say. It'll come down to the last game of the season. The
hey,
Cubs and the Brewers. Yes, the last game of the season will come down between the Cubs and the Brewers for the National League Central. One game, game number 162. And Darvish pitching
for Darvish.
The
Cubs. Then in that case, I'll switch it to the Brewers.
That's what I meant. I knew you were going to like my little joke there.
Hey,
okay.
Yes, I love it.
All right. Now, National League West, I'm going to say the Dodgers again. Carlos, I mean, David?
I think we're all kind of sticking on the same game plan.
Yes.
I think the Dodgers are going to take the West.
Yes. I don't know if they're going to win.
I think the National League Central is going to be the.
No, I'm sorry. Go ahead.
I was just going to say real quick, the only team that can give fits, and I mean they won't, but the Diamondbacks have done some great moves, and they got a good farm system. So, but, I mean, they won't get close to the Dodgers.
All right. Okay, so here's my surprise team in that division, the San Diego Padres, who have quietly built up a pretty good team. I'm not sure that they're good enough to win. I agree with both of you guys. The Dodgers are going to win it. I'm not sure they're going to win 150 games like they did last season, you know. But, you know, they were just, I mean, they were just like, in, you know, incredible last year. But I don't know. Keep an eye on the Padres. I kept thinking this is the off season that we were going to trade Profar to the Padres for one of their pitchers. And it may still happen. All right, so who are the two wild cards in the National League? I'm going to pick the Braves, who are really a good young team. And I'm going to pick the Padres. So those are my two wild cards, the Padres and the Braves. David?
My two wild cards are going to be the Brewers and the Diamondbacks.
Ooh, that would be a good series. There's some really good young teams in baseball. I mean, they really are. Carlos, your two wild cards.
Well, they beat me to it. I'm going with the same two that he picked. Philly getting close, but yeah, I think it's going to be the Brewers and the Diamondbacks.
Right. I think the Phillies are, as you say, they're getting close, and probably 2019 they'll be knocking on the door. That is a really good young team by everything I hear. But the Padres are really interesting what they've done there. The D-backs never get any respect because they're not, you know, a national team or anything like that. But you're right. They have some good players. Okay, let's go to the American League. I'm going to go with the Yankees in the East. David?
Well, I mean, should we go with Carlos first? Because he seems to be agreeing with everything I say.
All right, we'll change the format this time, and we'll force Carlos to think for himself. We're going to ask you to actually think for yourself this time. So who are you picking?
Okay, so this one I've been toiling a lot on because the Yankees have done a phenomenal offseason, and, you know, they've been working hard. And it's hard. They got Stanton who can give them 50-plus home runs.
Yeah.
But I would flip a coin 10 times and – I think five times it would come up Red Sox and five times come Yankees. So as much as I hate the Yankees, and my boy Cora from Puerto Rico is the manager now. So I'm going to go with my boy Cora in Boston.
All right. So how about you, David?
Well, since I don't have to think this time around, I'm going to agree with Carlos.
High five.
I think even though the Yankees – I think as far as the Yankees, they only, you know, beefed up their batting lineup.
Right,
I don't
think
they did much with their starting rotation. With Boston,
they got a good one. They do.
Mm-hmm. They've got a really good rotation. But I think this time with the Red Sox having Chris Sale for an entire season.
Right. Oh, man. Yeah.
Because you've got him starting – Plus, you've gotten all these additions. I think I think Mitch Moreland with Boston has been a great addition for them as well. So you're continuing on with the Red Sox that they built back in July.
Right, right. Good
so
point.
I think that's what's gonna. I think that's what's gonna help Boston continue to strive and be more successful over the Yankees to actually win the East.
I think that's a very good point. I did see something today in MLB.com. One of the national writers was saying that the Yankees are going to be the first team in Major League history to have three guys with 50 home runs. Judge, Stanton, and the catcher, Sanchez. That they're going to be, they're going to hit home runs like crazy. But and then the first baseman, too. The first baseman, Bird, is actually pretty good, too. So. But I was torn on that one. Nobody's running away with that division. I'm going to pick the Yankees, but they're not running away. I wouldn't be surprised, like you guys, are saying if the Red Sox make it. Central, I'm going to go with Cleveland. And I think the surprise team in that division is going to be the White Sox. They're not going to win anything. They're not going to get in anything, but they have a lot of young talent. So keep an eye on the White Sox. David, American League Central.
I think Cleveland's going to run off with that one. I really don't see the White Sox being much of a surprise. I really think Minnesota is going to be a lot better team than what we saw last season.
That's a great point. That is a great point. And in fact, somebody was predicting, and one of the national writers was predicting that Miguel Sano, I think that's his name, was going to be the MVP, that he was going to go crazy this year and win the MVP and put the Twins in the postseason. I mean, yeah, they do have a good young team. And they also picked up a pitcher. I can't think of who they picked up in free agency to help them.
Jake Odorizzi?
Yeah, that's right. The guy
and Lance Lynn.
Right, with the Blue Jays, right? I mean, no, not with the Blue Jays, with the Tampa, the Rays, who pitched with him, yeah. That's right. Who is your pick for the Central, Carlos?
Well, I don't want to sound like a broken record, but it's going to be Cleveland.
Good team.
And once again, I agree with Dave, I don't want to say that yet, but I think the Twins are going to be right behind them.
Okay, so you two guys are either eating the same cereal or you are drinking the same coffee because you're in total agreement tonight. Oh, actually, I have not disagreed much with you guys either tonight, so I think we're all reading the same newspaper, maybe. How about how about the American League West? I'm going to say Houston, but they're not winning. Something about Houston last year, they had 70 victories in the first 100 games. I mean, that was unbelievable. And then they went 30-30 the rest of the way. I mean, they still won the World Series. I'm not trying to knock them. But I think for them to win 100 games this year is going to be a little bit more difficult. So I'm picking them to win the American League West, but more with like about 95 wins. David?
I actually think they're going to do better this season than they did last season.
Wow.
With everyone that they've picked up. I mean, they're doing the same thing that Boston did. They're bringing their team that they built back in July that they won the World Series with, that they're bringing into this season. So it wouldn't surprise me if they won 105 to 110 games this season.
Well, you're making a good point because I just read that they have some – I mean, they have a guy in AAA who would be playing third base with us. Okay, I mean, not with us, but let's say if we traded Beltre, he would be good enough to play with us. And they cannot bring him up because they've got so much talent in the majors. So they have a farm system. That's the envy of baseball, their farm system. Carlos, I bet you're going to pick Houston also, right?
Yeah, you would think that. But, you know, it's the hangover year.
Right.
But, yeah, I'm picking Houston.
But too. Let me get you to agree. Do you think they're going to – because I said 95 wins, and David is saying 105 wins. So do you think they're going to come back a little bit like I'm saying, or do you think they're just going to keep going like David is saying?
I'm going to say they matched last year. So I think they wanted to have 101 last year.
Yeah.
So I think they're going to match that because, yeah, there's the possibility of a hangover. But honestly, Houston's a young team.
That's it.
And I don't think that hangover really is going to be there. So. With Verlander in the rotation, they can get those extra, eight, 9 wins that David's talking about.
Yeah, I'll tell you this. They have if anybody has a hangover on that team, he's going to be replaced so fast because they have so much talent in their farm system. I mean, the Astros are the best farm system from everything I've read. They're the best farm system. Okay, my two wild cards in the American League, the Red Sox and the Angels. David?
Well, you should go to me. That way it doesn't sound like I copied them.
Oh, okay. Well, you first then, David. I mean, Carlos.
I'm going to go with the Yankees in Minnesota.
Wow, I like that. Carlos? I mean, David?
I'm going to switch things around and say Minnesota and the Yankees.
I love it.
Oh, okay. All right. All right. So now we get to the final prediction, and that is who's going to go to the World Series, even though it's way early for that. But let's take a crack at it. I'm going to say Houston will play the Dodgers. The Yankees are going to play the Dodgers in the World Series. That's my World Series prediction. David?
For the World Series.
Yeah, the two teams in the World Series.
I'm going to go with some old-timers and go Boston and the Cubs.
Ooh. Wow, I like that. Carlos?
Cubbies for sure. The American League is just really hard. This is a year where there's no clear cut, but I think the American League championship will be Boston and Houston, and I think it's going to be an epic series. And then I want to give it to my boy Cora, but I think I'm going to have to go with Houston. And I
you'll
think
have to go
then,
with Cora. You win either way because you get Cora or Correa.
Yeah, I got Correa. Yeah. Actually, we got all kinds of Puerto Ricans playing in Houston.
I know. So you go either way. Well, guys, we're out of time. Hard to believe, but we're out of time. But I want to thank both of you for joining me tonight. Carlos, thanks for agreeing with David all night.
Not all night. It's been back and forth.
Right. No, but this is how you guys disagree. Carlos goes Yankees Twins, and you go Twins Yankees. This is how you guys disagree.
I know. I had to twist
not
it around.
Right.
Not the
same. Guys, thank you so much, and we'll pick it up again later in the spring, maybe after the Cowboys draft, and we'll see how everybody's doing, but. The one thing I'll say about I just want to go around the table real quickly, because I think right now we as fans, we're watching a period of Major League history where there are some really, really good young teams on the field. I mean, you're talking Houston, the Dodgers, I mean, Cleveland. There's some really good young teams. Do you agree with me, David?
Oh, totally.
Yeah. And Carlos?
I think everyone's been working hard with these young players, so yeah, it should be a couple, maybe even a decade of some good, solid baseball.
I agree. I agree with you. I think the game is really benefiting from these really athletic and really good young players like Correa in Houston. I mean, that's kind of the way to go now. Very athletic young players is the way to go. Guys, thank you so much as always, Carlos, David. Thank you, and we'll see you Sunday.
Likewise. Have a good evening.
All right. Thank you so much. David, good night.
Good night.
All right, guys. Well, that's our, we do this, I guess we've been doing it now since either 2013 or 2012, that we've been getting together and making some predictions. And it's always a lot of fun to do so with these guys. I mean, I just love them to death. They're great friends, and we always have a lot of fun predicting baseball. Well, that's going to do it, folks. Thank you so much for listening. Good night. And may your favorite team win. May your favorite team win. There are some really good, as I said, some really, really good young baseball players and some really good, exciting baseball teams out there. I think it should be a great decade of baseball over the next 10 years or so. Good night, everybody.